Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hey, thank you for watching / listening to another episode of whatever you're listening to. Paranoid American Podcast, The Cult Disney, Paranoid Programming, Sound Science. There's a bunch of them, but whatever it is, I appreciate that you're listening / watching to this right now. And if you really want to support Paranoid American, if you didn't know this, in addition to being a podcast, we've actually been publishing comics since 2012. So over a decade. While I was still at Disney, I started this company to publish a little book called Time Samplers, and it's exploded into 60 different titles at this point. And the biggest one just launched, at least at the time of recording this, but it's at nasacomic.com, stands for Never a Straight Answer, and it's about Stanley Kubrick directing the moon landings. And I just want to show you some of the cool kind of exclusive things you can get by backing this thing early. So if you go to nasacomic.com, it'll automatically bring you to this Kickstarter page, and you can see, bam, hit our goal at the time of recording this, 100%. So it's definitely going to be made. So you'll absolutely get a copy of this thing if you back it. If you're listening to this in the future and this page isn't here or brought you somewhere else, then likely you can just buy it right now. So just, you have to skip all this and just buy the damn thing. But here's a couple little previews of artwork. Here's different variant covers that are for offered. This top left one, I actually have in print. I got a couple of prototypes printed up just to make sure that it would look good. It looks great. Looks amazing. Full color, gloss pages. It's got a nice hefty weight to it because it's 40 different pages of all unique art that you haven't seen before. There's also going to be a variant cover. There's going to be a foil, hollow foil cover. And then there's a little postcard print that anybody that gets a physical copy of the comic in any form, they're going to end up getting this postcard size print here. Here's some different artwork samples from the three different artists that contributed to this book. And then here's the important part, the rewards. So by backing this project, you're going to get to pick some different kind of reward tier. The entry level one is this digital deluxe, which has the entire book in digital form. You'll get a PDF. It's also going to have an additional 8 different pages that aren't in any of the print versions, just because they were maybe some were a little too spicy, maybe some were a slightly different art style, but I'm going to give all that in the digital deluxe along with some wallpapers and some MP3s and stuff. If you want the print one that I was just holding up here, then the entry for that one is $15. With that, you're going to get that little postcard print I mentioned. You're going to get a trading card. You're going to get a bookmark, and you'll probably get some other stuff because I always throw in extra freebies. You can ask anyone that's bought anything from Paranoid American. I hook it up with lots of extras. If you want the variant cover, which is only available in this campaign, there's a $19 tier for that. It also comes with an extra sticker. If you want the hollow foil, then that one is $29. These ones are going to be super limited. Like, these won't exist outside of this campaign for the next 30 days. So if you are listening to this in the future, sorry you missed out. You might be able to snag one in an upcoming campaign if there's extras. But if you really want this hollow foil, and you should, you can get it right now for $29. And then we've got a couple other tiers after that. We've got a 55th anniversary special for $55. That has the main cover and the foil cover and a sticker sheet and some other goodies. Here's the best value, basically. There's a $99 Cosmic Conspiracy tier, over 40% off of all the different things that are included. So this one's going to come with the main cover, the variant cover, the hollow foil cover, three or four different sticker sheets. It's going to come with Sticks Plus stickers. It has the trading card, a bookmark. It has a custom Paranoid American Room 237 keychain. And I think the highlight of this is it's going to come with this custom embroidered Stanley Kubrick patch based on the Apollo 11 design. And there's a, if you keep scrolling down, you can see all the other extra reward tiers. All of the different items are going to be described in more detail. And I want to show you this patch right here. It's a 3-inch embroidered iron-on patch. You can put it on your Molex bag. You can put it on, you know, anything, hats, backpacks. This is the first time we've ever done one of these custom patches, so I'm really excited about that. There's also a custom fake moon landing playset that you can select as an add-on when you go to check out. So speaking of, let's say that you're sold. You want to get a copy. You want to help support Paranoid American. You haven't used Kickstarter before. The easiest thing to do is you just click on this back this project button on the page. It's both at the very top of the screen and it's at the top of the page. So you can click either one, back this project. And from here, it's gonna be like a typical checkout. You're gonna select which of these different tiers you want. Again, I highly recommend this $99 Cosmic Conspiracy combo. It's gonna have every single thing that the campaign has to offer that's exclusive to this NASA book. You click on that, you pick the country that you're in, and then you just click on the pledge button. There's one extra last step where it's going to ask you if you want to do any add-ons, if you want to throw in like a trading card pack or another keychain or anything else. You can get some huge discounts on the backlog of Paranoid American comics. But let's say you're done with that, you click continue. And then finally, if you don't already have a Kickstarter account, you'll be prompted to make one. You can link it to Facebook. The rest of the flow is just like any typical checkout online. So I really appreciate if you would take a look. Please just back the comic, back nasacomic.com. Anyways, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Good evening, listeners, brave navigators of the enigmatic and the concealed. Have you ever felt the pull of the unanswered, the allure of the mysteries that shroud our existence? For more than a decade, a unique comic publisher has dared to dive into these mysteries, unafraid of the secrets they might uncover. This audacious entity is Paranoid American. Welcome to the mystifying universe of the Paranoid American podcast.
Launched in the year 2012, Paranoid American has been on a mission to decipher the encrypted secrets of our world. From the unnerving enigma of MKUltra mind control to the clandestine assemblies of secret societies, from the awe-inspiring frontiers of forbidden technology to the arcane patterns of occult symbols in our very own pop culture. They have committed to unveiling the concealed realities that lie just beneath the surface. Join us as we navigate these intricate landscapes, decoding the hidden scripts of our society and challenging the accepted perceptions of reality.
Folks, I've got a big problem on my hands. There's a company called Paranoid American making all these funny memes and comics. Now, I'm a fair guy. I believe in free speech, as long as it doesn't cross the line. And if these AI-generated memes dare to make fun of me, they're crossing the line.
This is your expedition into the realm of the extraordinary, the secret, the shrouded. Come with us as we sift through the world's grand mysteries, question the standardized narratives, and brave the cryptic labyrinth of the concealed truth. So strap yourselves in, broaden your horizons, and steel yourselves for a voyage into the enigmatic heart of the Paranoid American podcast, where each story, every image, every revelation brings us one step closer to the elusive truth.
All right, I'm getting through a checklist of my very long overdue. And today, one of my very dear friends and guests, Deplorable Janet, and I just want to preface this with that Janet seems to be like this unknown glue that like binds a lot of the, I want like the weird community is weird, but if you were to say like the conspiracy or alternative podcast community, like you're kind of one of the unsung heroes. And I just want to give you praise because you've connected so many people. I think that Heidi Love and I that have a couple different shows together, I think I met her through you. a long list of people that I wouldn't have ever come in contact without you. So you're just like the switchboard master or something of this world. So thank you, first of all, not just for the connections that you're making between, you know, me and other people, but just the connections you're making between other people in general. Because if everyone was doing what Deplorable Janet was doing, like, we wouldn't need Facebook or Instagram or any other platform. Like, we would already have the platform just from word of mouth and talking to each other. So hopefully that's a good enough introduction for the amazing Deplorable Janet. But tell people too where they can find you and everything else.
First, I want to say thank you for that, because I just love people. And I love, you know, sharing like people that I meet with other people and stuff, and growing a respectable family. We may not all get along, but we can all respect each other, right? So I love that. So thank you for that introduction. That was very, very nice of you to say. And for people who don't know me, I host Deplorable Nation podcast, and you can find that on every podcast platform. I have a Rumble channel, so you can find it on there if you like watching videos. Or you can link up with me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet, or Twitter account number like 14 now. So now it is No Janet, KNOW.
Is that because you got your wrist slapped or what?
I have been slapped down many a time.
and speaking Obviously. Of being slapped down, I also wanted to mention, like, this is pre-recorded, so we've got the convenience that we can edit things. So, for example, if we're listening on YouTube and you hear a bunch of weird noises or, like, phrases mm-hmm. that don't make sense when I say something like, the vaccine might cause heart problems, it might cause mm-hmm. you know all sorts of issues that haven't come to light yet. If I just said a bunch of weird AI generated stuff and it didn't make sense, it's probably because you're on YouTube. If you're on Patreon, or if you're listening to the regular podcast, or if you're on Rumble or any other platform, you'll just hear a natural conversation with no weird editing right. required, because it's not mm-hmm. necessary. So I do want to say that when we first met, we did like an adrenochrome roundtable, and I'm almost positive that everyone in that roundtable went in completely blind. None of us had met each other at any point before, maybe like slightly acquainted.
I knew New York Patriot. Him okay, and I you knew, have you knew known him. Each other a while. Yeah.
But me and you met for the first time. Me and him, I think, met for one or two of the first times. Mm-hmm. And then we had someone from Hush Hush Society, which I think was fairly new to all of us. I had done an interview with them before. But besides you in New York, we kind of were like meeting each other for the first time. And I think someone made a statement and was like, I'm glad that no one in there just jumped in with QAnon, like weird stuff. Like, we all kind right. of came from a very skeptical, rational approach. And you mentioned in that you come from like a nursing background.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm remembering that correctly, right? It's not a false yeah. memory implanted.
No, I have basically my whole entire career been in the healthcare field. I started out, you know, in billing and stuff like that. So I was on that side for a while. And then I've done home healthcare, I've done nursing, and I also was an autopsy assistant. And so I have been literally in multiple facets, and, you know, I've done healthcare appeals and collections and everything. So
I want to pick your brain about a bunch of gross and controversial.
I love gross stuff.
I just for the record, I don't. I get queasy. I would have been a much better drawer. Like, I could illustrate much better, but I couldn't take anatomy class because it like grossed me out younger. I'm much better now, but yeah, I'm missing, and you know, a lot of that.
The autopsy assistant was probably one of the most interesting things that I ever did. It doesn't mean I'm a serial killer by any means, but I love bloody, gutty, gory stuff. That is my speed. Give me that any day over female hoo-ha or somebody's pooter pie. Those are not interests of mine in the least.
What horror or other movie is the most accurate in terms of like gore and horror?
You know what? I love horror movies, but some of them are just so cheesy. But one of my favorite horror movies is Vile. I don't know if you've ever...
Vile or Vile?
Vile. Vile. Like the, yeah. And I love it because it's like... you have to, they got kidnapped and were in this house and they have to like torture themselves or torture other people that they're held captive with in order to fill up these vials that are attached to the base of their skull because they're collecting cerebral spinal fluid. And so it's like cheese graters on the skin or like boiling body parts or, you know, whatever. I just, yeah. It's gross, but I'm like, this is so cool. Yeah.
All right. And that was just a random tangent because I wasn't even expecting you to say you love that so much. So I
do. I love horror movies are my favorite, even though, like I said, they're most of them are super duper cheesy, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, let's go hide behind the chainsaws. That's great. That's smart. Thumbs up for you. Yeah.
Does that go back forever? Like as a little kid, were you into horror or was there like a certain life that you got into it?
No, I would say that didn't really happen until my adulthood because I used to be the sappy like love story type and whatever. And then it was comedies and stuff for a while or action movies. So it just kind of changes as to whatever my fancy is at the time. But I think I like horror stuff just because I've seen so many gross graphic things as a nurse, you know?
So it started with just being familiar with the scenarios and then getting into the horror version of it.
Yeah.
What about a conspiracy / like alt news angle? Was that something that is a recent development for Janet or have you always been into that?
Well, I think most of the stuff that they put out on that front, movie-wise or even like series-wise, documentaries and stuff like that, I think those are very cheesy too because they always tend to be very biased. And it's like making fun of people that basically have critical thought process. I'm not even going to say conspiracy theories because that's a CIA term, you know, and more times than not what people deem a conspiracy theory is actually the truth. So
well, it's a convenient bucket even if it's CIA created. So I guess to put a little bit of boundaries on that because it's a very vague and loose term that can be used in a million different ways.
Right.
For me, usually when I'm like, oh hey, are you a conspiracy theorist? I were to ask, which is a weird question, you wouldn't actually just like ask someone that, but if I were to ask that question, it's almost like, do you believe that JFK, you know, was assassinated outside the official story? Do you believe in OKC and 9/11 outside of the official story? It's usually, hey, do you believe the thing that's not the official story on a plethora of things?
Right.
So for a lot, like some people, I'll say, you know, alternative news, and it's like the exact same thing. It just doesn't carry the baggage as conspiracy theory. You know what I mean?
You know, and my thinking on the subject is, it's never a conspiracy theory. It's critical thought process, because like take you know the globe Earth for instance, and if you actually sit and think about the things that they have told us repeatedly, you know, about how far away it is and how fast it spins and how fast it moves around the Earth and all this stuff, the numbers are arbitrary. Where do you find them at, and how did you get those exact precise measurements? Like the tides in the ocean, you know, gravity affects those, but gravity doesn't affect a lake. Like, question what you're told, regardless of what the subject is, because more times than not, if you sit down and critically analyze what you're being told, you're going to come to a very different conclusion than what's being sold to you by the mainstream.
What are some of the most obvious? Let's say someone just accidentally tunes into this and we got them for 30 seconds or 60 seconds. And you're like, hey, if you were to actually look into this thing that you think is one way, it's actually a different way. What would be like a great intro version of that?
That would be such a long list. I would say JFK, 9/11, the Fed, flat earth, healthcare in general, literally anything and everything that you can think of that we've been, you know, indoctrinated to believe over a lifetime. It's all bullshit. Even our history.
Where are you at on astrology?
As in what?
As in predict, like being a predictor, an objective predictor of somebody's personality, capabilities, you know, the way that people use not just horoscopes, but like compatibility charts and, oh, that's so Taurus, or, you know, well, oh, I can't do that this month because I'm a Virgo or whatever.
You know, my thinking on that subject is, given my own life experience, my husband and I are not supposed to mesh well together via, you know, horoscopes and signs and stuff like that. And we're supposed to like fight like cats and dogs and hate each other. And we get along better than I've ever got along with anybody. So I don't put much stock into that. And then like me, I'm a Scorpio. And so I'm supposed to be like this, you know, fiery, hellish persona and have a bad temper and flighty and airheaded. And I think I'm very much the opposite of that.
The namesake would maybe give that impression, no? The deplorable Janet.
Well, you know, the good thing about that is during World War One, they actually had a team called the Deplorables that would go in and do things that nobody else wanted to do. That's more my personality.
What kind of things did no one else want to do that they did?
You know, like scoping out behind enemy lines, or, you know, like invading like a known territory or something and trying to get information from people, or carry out like assassination attempts. Could I assassinate somebody? I would like to think that I wouldn't, unless it was to protect my family. You know what I'm saying? But doing all the other things because somebody else is too lazy or doesn't want to, that's totally me. Yeah.
And the word deplorable, as I understand the context, was really something what the Hillary Clinton said about people that were going to vote for Donald Trump. And then it became almost like a mark of pride. Like, yeah, I'm deplorable. Yeah. Like an indignant version of that. Is that where the deplorable Janet came from? Was it like a
post-Trump original? Yes, that as well. And, you know, I wear, like, our society as a whole loves labels, right? You have to label everything, label a race group or a sexual group, or label somebody as a mental health or whatever. I wear mine proudly. I grew up in Indiana and doing very quote unquote redneckish things, right? So am I redneck? Probably, because have I like done cow tipping and, you know, gone mudding in a truck and stuff like that? Yes, absolutely. So I'll take those things. I'll take whatever makes you feel better about yourself that you labeled me as. I'll take that and I'll throw it right back at you.
I got to ask, does cow tipping actually kill the cow? Like, does the cow die from getting
tipped over? And it is very difficult to tip a cow over anyway, because obviously they weigh a whole hell of a lot. So more times than not, if you go try to push on a cow, that it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to do anything.
So let's say a bunch of kids go out cow tipping and they can't actually push a cow over. Is it like a euphemism for getting drunk out in the
pretty much field? Yeah. Okay. Running around out in the fields acting like a hooligan. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
are you still Team Trump in 2024?
I am Team. I am not political. Because number one, there are two wings on the same bird. There's things I very much dislike about every single politician. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle that you're on. I don't believe that voting actually is going to make any difference whatsoever, because whoever is going to be installed is going to be installed whether you vote for them or not. You know, and I have questions. Did I vote for Trump the first time? Yes. Because I wanted something different. And I like his no BS approach, because I'm the same kind of person. I don't sugarcoat things for people. But do I have questions about things that he's done or not done? Yes, absolutely, 1,000%. But will I vote again? Mm-mm, no.
Do you think in the lifetime of anyone listening, let's say there's a three-year-old that's just like hearing this, do you think that three-year-old in their lifetime, there'll ever be a president that they can trust or that would be working in the favor of the American people? Or do you think it's just like so long gone that that's not possible?
I would say no, unless the whole entire system is dismantled and burnt down to the ground and restarted. Because laws don't mean anything, and the hypocrisy in our legal system right now is insane. And it's like, you know, these laws on our books apply to certain people and they don't apply to other people. And so it's very, like, the law is very politicized these days. And so even our legal system needs to be taken down and restarted.
Do you bump up against anyone with like opposing views? You've got like liberal friends or family members or coworkers or anything?
Of course. My parents are very liberal minded, I guess you could say, Democrat, always have been. I get along with my dad. However, my mom and I do not speak now, because she was horrified that I went to DC, but I went there in the capacity of a journalist for the place that I was working for at the time. And she's so indoctrinated with watching like The View and the Today Show and the, you know, whatever. And then we had this massive comeuppance, I guess, about the vaccination and, you know, what was really behind that and what the truth was and stuff. And so, yeah. But I'm not afraid to stand my ground. Just like, you know, if people come at me sideways about mask or social distancing or whatever, I have enough upstairs where I can go right back at them with a conversation.
So did you get to document January 6th in DC, like on the ground?
Yes. And I had taken like lots of videos and stuff. I mean, we saw very well-dressed people that were going around with wads of cash in the crowd paying people and stuff. And so we had all of these things, and all of those videos got removed or taken down or warnings or, you know, whatever. Like I had a picture that I took of somebody in a full like uniform as far as like Confederacy and stuff like that. And I was like, well, this is really neat. This is, you know, because he was standing on the by the Washington Monument. And so I took a picture of that and they removed it for hate speech. And I was like, it's literally a picture of a person.
But then they were wearing like a Confederate like soldier outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, they, you know, I mean, there's reenactments all the time that, you know, that groups do where it's like Civil War reenactments and stuff like that. They have groups for that, whatever. And that is literally what he did. That's a group that he's part of. And I took a picture of it and they were like, that's hate speech. But yeah, I talked to like people from all over the world. I even ran into people that I grew up with, which was really strange, you know, and it was weird in the crowd, I guess, because there were, you know, it was a lot of praying and singing and, you know, hugging people and stuff like that. And so I stayed very far away from the Capitol, like very far away, because the people that I was with, ex-military, ex-sniper, there were snipers on the rooftops while we were there and stuff. I was taking pictures of them and taking pictures of like the buildings and stuff, because I've never been there before. But he was telling us, you know, that Secret Service was updating him on things that were going on around the Capitol. So we stayed away from that area.
If let's excuse the obvious reason for being in the Capitol as being like bring attention and bring awareness and, you know, be seen and connect with other people. But do you think there was a realistic and rational like outcome in mind for someone there outside of, you know, the plans that were made, turned it kind of violent and turned it into like the whole debacle ended up being? But what, like,
you
what
mean
was
the three
like,
letter agencies?
Yeah. I know, the alphabet soup that poured all over the place. But what was like the real objective of everyone being there? Was the implication that, you know, Trump would just refuse to step down, or like what was the reason?
No, you know, it was just like a regular rally, because he's been here in Tennessee multiple times. You know, he's been literally all over the United States, and it was just another rally. And that you've always got like the small group of people that ruins things for everybody. And so this small group of people is like, oh, we're going to go protest, you know, the outcome of the election and Mike Pence certifying and whatever. And that's the narrative that the mainstream media like ran with, you know, that people were there to cause an uprising and overtake the Capitol and stuff. Well, And this may sound labelish in its own right, but most conservatives are gun owners. And so if gun owners were going to go and take over the Capitol, they would have been armed. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't have like showed up and be like, I'll show you, with some very strongly worded sentences. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to take over the Capitol, you're going to go there with the show of force. That's why the narrative was co-opted and made out to be something that it was not. Absolutely not.
And let's say in theory that enough people were there and armed in Minecraft in a fictional universe of the United States, but Do you think it would be possible to actually take over the government just from that location in DC?
I would say yes. And obviously there's, you know, like vulnerabilities and security and stuff like that. And Capitol Police is really good at their job. They're really good at, you know, protecting the House and the Senate and stuff like that. But if you have a mob of millions of people that are there that really had that as their intention, I don't think there's any way they could stop it.
Couldn't the Senate just meet on Zoom? Couldn't the president just broadcast on Twitter? Like what?
Right.
It almost seems like it's just symbolic. Like even if they were to rush and they took it over and they still occupied it right now today, it doesn't seem like there's this magical, like, you know, United States fairy that comes down and anoints them, and now they're magically calling all the shots. Like the boardroom meetings are still happening, the laws are still being applied. Mm-hmm. It's at least in theory, right?
Right, absolutely. And you know, the amount of policing that would need to happen in those buildings to protect everybody, I think is beyond what their comprehension is, you know, and like you said, it's political theater, because we've heard how many times now that the president is not giving his speeches from the White House. They're like from a, you know, soundstage or something in another building, which makes total sense because a lot of it was under construction. So, you know.
There's always an extra reason to be like, and because of X, Y, Z, that's why this is happening all according to plan.
Right.
And we're talking right now, it's the 27th, June 27th, and the first debate, I think, ever between Trump and Biden, or allegedly is going to happen tonight. No one knows if it's going to be AI or if it's going to even happen. Are you tuning in for it? What are you thinking about it?
You know, I stopped drinking quite a long time ago, and I think if I had to sit through it, I would probably need alcohol because, you know, with all the special circumstances and Biden doesn't have to stand and he can sit down the whole time and there's not supposed to be a debate and, you know, there's not supposed to be a back and forth with each other. And I'm like, what is the point then? Quite honestly. And then they have special microphones set up that there's a green light, so you'll know whether your microphone is on or not. How many times do you think that will be turned off? And for the better sake of argument, which Biden is going to be present on stage tonight?
What can we speculate what kind of drugs they're pumping Biden up with? Do you have any sort of, like, I don't want to say personal knowledge, but just on your nursing experience in general, like what would you pump Biden up with to make him perky?
I honestly don't know that his mental capacity would come alive with much of anything, because Alzheimer's drugs, if he's got Alzheimer's, he can still get sundowner syndrome and the whole nine yards. Cocaine maybe to wake him up, right? But that's why I said I wonder which Biden is going to appear, because the CIA has a whole entire department that specially designs masks and stuff for you know, subbing in world leaders or subbing in like John Fetterman, who looked very different every time you see him. And Biden is the same way. It's not a conspiracy because the wrinkles in his face are different. The size of his ears are different. He looks, you know, 75 years old in this picture. In this picture, he looks like he's 89. So that's not speculation. That is definite manipulation.
Do you think the White House has released any AI Joe Biden media footage so far?
100%. Yeah.
How much do you trust anything anymore? Not just media.
I do not. And that's why, like, anytime any story comes out, I'm like, but yeah, I don't. The sniff test is not passable for me at the moment. And so, you know, even taking things with a grain of salt that come out in the news media, like from a conservative perspective, you know, it's like, take that with a grain of salt too, because there is psyopy business on both sides of the aisle. So
On September 12, 2001, as the dust is still settling, are you thinking inside job at that moment, or like, were you even in that headspace at that point?
I believe that it was an inside job. It was already pre-planned, predestined. They knew what they were going to do, because when they went to all these what's the company that had all the voting machines? I'm going to have a brain fart.
The one in the news lately has been Dominion, but that's
Dominion.
That's much newer. Yeah.
So When we moved away from paper ballots to electronic systems, and then they tried to sell us that elections would be free, fair, and secure because they're run by blockchain. Blockchain is also programmable. It's also able to be manipulated, depending on who the programmer is or what foreign actors or, you know, whatever. That's why, like, the wanting digital currency is a huge concern to me, too, because as long as you've got something and you put it out there on the internet and you're like, oh, well, we're going to run these Dominion voting machines that go to a server in Amsterdam. Why? And how easily hackable is that? Where they can actually go in and change your vote while you're voting. You know, and so it's like everything that they do that they put online, even with people's medical records, right? And they sell you the bill of goods that it's safe and secure, run the other way, because it is absolutely not safe and secure. And that is why all these hackers have access to, you know, hospital chains or whatever, and they get in and get your information. LifeLock has been hacked, and that's supposed to be like who protects everybody, right? And that's the same thing with voting stuff. The more that they put online, the more easily attackable that is.
Well, where were you at on Bush and Kerry? Do you remember?
Oh, my Lord. I don't like John Kerry. I have never liked John Kerry. At the time, I was like, oh, Bush is, you know, Bush is a decent guy, whatever. And the older I get, the more information that I find out. And I'm like, wow. Like, I did not know squat growing up. And that's how I feel. And every day I find out something new that I didn't know about.
So at the time, I almost assume you didn't know that Bush and Kerry were both Skull and Bones members.
Yeah, no. Had no clue.
Mm-mm. What was the first time that you learned about Skull and Bones?
Honestly, and not until recently. And I hate to admit that because I am older. But like I had never heard of that, didn't know what it was. And so like I'll hear something in passing from somebody and I'm like, what is that? I have to go look it up now.
How did that come up? Do you remember originally when you started looking into Skull and Bones? Like,
what was the context? There was somebody that I was talking to that had like a ancestral, like Indian ancestral thing, something that was at the school, and they mentioned the Skull and Bones, and I'm like, what is that? What are you talking about? I don't even know what that is. But like the Skull and Bones Society had like taken this ancestral artifact or whatever and destroyed it or damaged it or something, and that's how it came up. It was just in random conversation.
They also have been rumored to have taken the skull of Geronimo and that they were using that and putting it on display.
Yeah.
And there's documented evidence, I want to say proof, but it's like evidence in the form of a diary of the previous Skull and Bones members documenting exactly where they went on Fort Sill and what time it was when they dug it up and everything detailing it. So unless it was just like really odd fiction that was very particular, that could have very reasonably happened at the time that they said it happened by the people that said it was, like the Harriman brothers, and so I believe
with very oddly specific details,
which ironically was the patriarch of the Bush dynasty. That was Prescott Bush, mm-hmm. who then gave way to Herbert Walker Bush, who ran the CIA, and then we got and the presidency. And then we get George W. Bush. But yeah, that was one that maybe I was ahead of the curve, but I was trying to tell everyone that I knew about the whole Skull and Bones connection at that election. And I mean, if you rewind back to when that was happening, right, that was wackadoo talk, like talking about bones and like they're both in a secret society. It was just like, all right, bud, take off the tinfoil hat. Like, you can say it now and people are like, yeah, that's fine. I read that BuzzFeed article years ago.
Yeah, I heard that. I knew all about that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm one of those people that I will admit there is a heck of a lot of stuff that, like, I learn every day. And that's why I love having conversations with so many different people from different walks of life or whatever, because I learn things that I had no clue about. And I like that because I like learning stuff.
Are there any highlights that you can throw out there, like some new things that you've learned recently that maybe I or someone listening hasn't heard before?
It is not conspiracy stuff. A lot of things that I am uncovering lately are health-related stuff and things that I am ashamed to say. I was indoctrinated as heck coming out of school. You know, and things that I know now, like about diabetes and cholesterol and stuff like that, and the real truth behind it. And it is not what we were told. And the organs that we were told were involved are not. It's just like, it's like mind blowing. But, you know, those are good things, because the more I learn, the more I can, like, expose, because that's one of my favorite things to do.
Are you saying that the first time a doctor writes a book about a subject, there's a chance that they're not right on that first publication, and that the whole industry shouldn't just, like, immediately adopt these things?
Yeah. And, you know, like, I can remember growing up, like, they had these commercials about eggs, right? And it was eggs are bad. You shouldn't have eggs. Oh, no. The incredible edible egg. Eggs are terrific. You should eat them. No, you shouldn't. Eggs are bad. They have a lot of cholesterol. No, blah, blah, blah. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I'm like, you know, what do you believe? And no wonder people are in such a state of confused ignorance, I guess. Or willful ignorance, because they're like, there's so much out there on both sides. They don't know where to start, don't know what to believe. And, you know, like you get to the point where you just don't care.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
And you don't want to know. And it's easier to not know because everything's so confusing.
Well, one of my, I guess, a decent analogy, I want to say a great analogy, but it's almost like when kids get to a certain point and they realize, like, oh, my parents or adults in general aren't just like magically smarter, have all the answers. In fact, you realize a lot of people don't. I'll speak personally. It seems like a lot of people don't advance outside of like the middle school or the high school lunchroom and the pack mentality and like just the things that even me, I laugh at fart jokes still. You know what I mean? Like some of
too.
That, it never goes away, but it's almost like this veil lifts, but it lifts way too late. Like it doesn't happen when you're 8 or you're 12, right, when it would actually be helpful. Like you're still living under this weird veil of like authority figures actually have some kind of authority. They must know something I don't. So therefore right. I need to put all my trust in them. And then you get to a certain age and you're like, wait a minute, I'm as old as my teacher or my parent was when this thing happened. And it's like, I don't know anything about the world. So they couldn't have known a whole lot about the world. And I feel like that's fractal. Like that goes all the way up to the top leaders of industry and presidents and politicians. Mm-hmm. Not to say there's not some crazy genius experts and like special fields out there. Right. Just like freaking, you know, Beethoven was like a prodigy at age 12. You know what I mean?
Right, Doogie Howser, absolutely.
Even if he's fictional. But those things exist. Those anomalies exist. But it's like, we're just kind of living in this weird lunchroom of like middle school mentality for a lot of this. And I guess, I don't know, that it's, I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse about things.
Right.
But it gives me a reality check sometimes.
I think that the older I get, the smarter I become. And I'm grateful for that because, you know, like kudos to the parents that are homeschooling their kids, you know, and teaching them about things that are important and teaching them, you know, morals and values and stuff. Because even though I grew up in Catholic school, you know, until junior high, I still got that indoctrinated education in Catholic school and then in public school. And I feel like almost kind of like I was done a disservice by not learning the things that I needed to learn and letting morals and values go by the wayside because you, as a child, you're so moldable and impressionable. You kind of take on like the morals and the values of whatever adult is teaching you. And so, you know, if you have a school system that's full of, and sorry if this offends people, but I'll explain more in a minute. But if you have teachers that are all very liberal minded, and that's all you get as a child growing up, then you grow up to be the social justice warrior and whatever that they mold you into. However, the thing that people don't see as a problem with that is no one is supposed to be better than anyone else, right? We're supposed to all be equal. They're fighting for, quote, equality. However, in equality situations, you raise one group over another literally all the time. And so it doesn't matter what cause it is. It doesn't matter if it's BLM or if it is like the Asian people or whatever. They had that going on for a while, or LGBTQ stuff or whatever. Like, that group becomes superior and everyone else becomes less than. And that's a lesson I think that people that are social justice minded, they miss the boat on that, because you're fighting for equality. You say you're fighting for equality, but really you're not fighting for equality. You're fighting to make yourself more precious than everyone else.
Maybe, I don't know, this could probably be taken very wrong, but in a controversial way, I don't know if I agree that people can be equal. Like, for example, Ed Gein versus Nikola Tesla, like, right? Nikola Tesla is more valuable as a human. It seemed like he was more capable,
right?
In so many ways, he provided more value to society at large.
Right.
Ed Gein is just like a weird story that we base horror movies after, because he, like, you know, made people into lampshades and stuff. I mean,
wear your face because it's sexy.
Well, he was the Tesla of wearing other people's skin, I guess, but in a very objective way. And I know that's a very
contribution. Did he not?
He did to pop culture, and I know it's a very extreme and hyperbolic example, but it's just a very obvious example with two real human beings,
right?
That were more or less contemporaries, give or take, you know, half a century or so. But those are real people, and I would say that, like, yeah, you could objectively say one person was better, more valuable. It's not, all things aren't equal, you know. Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy versus, you know, insert anyone.
I love serial killer stuff, so yeah.
But yeah, like the guy that checked out your groceries versus a serial killer, like, give me the guy that checked out the groceries. It's not necessarily all equal.
Right. But that's their premise of their argument, right? Is that everyone is created equal and everybody's, you know, like, everybody gets a participation trophy because everybody's special, and we're all equal, and everybody should all be equal all the time, you know, and we don't have rights that these other people do, even though, hello, you live in the United States, you literally have the exact same identical rights. It's not exclusionary here. We don't do that. But it's like, that's the premise of their argument, which is easily destroyable. Because, like I said, you know, in fighting for everyone to be equal, you are actually digging up the playing field and making mounds and then putting the rest of the people in a moat. You know what I'm saying?
Are you religious still at all?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you identify as a Catholic still from your original upbringing?
No.
Do you have any convenient label that you use?
Well, I like to say that I am not about church, because organized religion is a scam. It's a scheme, and it is a business of doing business. It's a, you know, opportunity to count heads and how much money they can bring in. It's not about your relationship with God. And so my relationship is a personal one with God. It's not based through a sect or a denomination or anything like that. It's just a personal connection.
What do I got to do to get you back into the Catholic fold?
That is not going to happen.
Shouldn't have sailed.
You know,
In case I can get some traction going.
It took me a long time to realize, because I always felt very uncomfortable in Catholic church and Catholic school and Catholic mass, Catholic weddings, Catholic everything. And if you still practice that, people, that's great and that's fine for you. It was not the option for me, because number one, I felt like I was going to crawl out of my skin. Something wasn't right. And then the more you investigate, and go down the rabbit holes about their customs, their cultures, the torture, you know, literally every piece of it. It plays a big role. And, you know, if I knowingly know something like that about a subject, I can't in good conscience still stay in that. So,
what do you think about the, I mean, you mentioned before, like, the participation trophy, and I guess the idea that I got in my mind was there's almost like a secular and therefore ironically spiritual participation trophy thing going on now. So, like, if you're anti-religious or apathetic or agnostic or atheistic or whatever, it's almost like a default, like, oh no, we're all just equally moral and it's up to each individual to, as a nurse too, do you think that there's people that are just like born to be bad, you know, like?
I do. And some people will tell you that, like, they know what they were born into or born to do. And I've a friend now who's older than me, and he said, you know, from the time I was little, I knew I was born to be like a rampant drug user. Like, he knew that's what he was supposed to do. And so some people, I think, know without a shadow of a doubt that they're going to be, because we're shaped in the womb, right? As far as like where our traumas lie and stuff like that, you know, and if you hear like continual fighting in the womb and stuff, you are actually being impressionable at that age when you're still a fetus. And so you grow up to have that same kind of temperament, you know, and if you hear violence and stuff like that, you're apt to do those same kind of things, even if you don't know why, even if you don't remember. It's a subconscious memory thing, and you in turn carry those out. So, like, you were abused, so you're going to turn around and be an abuser as well. It takes a very special person doing a lot of very special work on themselves to get themselves out of that mindset of, you know, like, I was abused, so I'm going to hurt other people. I'm going to give it back, per se.
Do you, very Scorpio of you, by the way.
Thanks.
Do you believe in life begins at conception?
I believe, honest to God, that that is a true thing. Because if you're a spiritual person, if you believe in God, God creates life. And so life starts with one living cell. So, yes.
Is that the, like, the monk? I mean, I actually don't know the correct answer for this. When someone says life begins at conception, is that like the moment the sperm enters the egg? Poof. Mm-hmm. There's like, what is it? Like a spark of DMT and like a flash, or, you know, a nanosecond of light. Party. Yeah, well, welcome to the party, bro.
Yeah, and it's like you know, that fertilization takes place, and that can only happen when the conditions in your body are ideal and perfect. And so conception does not happen unless it is basically God ordained, because there's so many things that are wrong with our bodies, and your hormone levels are off, and, you know, like sperm counts low, or, you know, the genetic mutations or whatever prevent that from happening. So to me, it's a miracle.
Do you believe in aliens?
Do I believe in aliens? I believe that aliens are actually fallen angels. I believe they're Nephilim. So I don't believe they're outer space aliens.
Do you believe in outer space, period?
I believe outer space is fake and gay.
Do you believe that the sun is local?
Do I believe it's local? That is a good question. And I believe kind of yes, because biblically speaking, you know, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it would have to be in our firmament, which he also created. So do I believe it is here? Yes. Do I believe that it's whatever trillion light years away or whatever they said? No.
If we were to take another like extreme example of like the most literal interpretation of the Bible, this is one of my favorite questions in that context of like, do you believe a snake ever talked to a human being? Like Garden of Eden style, do you think like a snake opened its mouth and was like, you know, hey, Adam, or hey, Eve, check out this apple over here?
You know what I think it is? I think it's visual interpretation, kind of like some people see Bigfoot or, you know, whatever cryptids. I'm not really a cryptid specialist, but, you know, like some people can see them and some people can't. And I think it is whatever we are able to comprehend and see. And so can you always see evil that's after you? No. And so for Satan to be able to, you know, work his spell on Eve, you know, it had to be something that she could actually see and visualize. That's what I think.
All right, we're getting into a realm where I just want to ask you a bunch of very questions in that vein. So I've got a little 10-second intro, and then I've got some rules, and I'll explain it to you in just a second.
Hey, conspiracy buffs, I double dare you to take some PCP, the Paranormal Conspiracy Probe. On your marks, get set, and go!
Okay, it's very, very easy. I'm just going to ask you from on a to rate things.
Probe me.
I'm going to probe you from 1 to 10. And for example, if I say Bigfoot, if you were to give me a 1, that's like, I don't believe in Bigfoot at all. I think anyone that believes him is silly. If you say 10, it's like, I've seen Bigfoot. I've got videos of him. Like, yes, Bigfoot's real. And then 5 is like, don't know, don't care, maybe, maybe not. So if I were to say Bigfoot, where would you rank your credibility in Bigfoot from 1 to 10?
I would say 5.
Mm-hmm. What about flat earth that we were just talking about?
I would say, I believe it wholeheartedly. I would say 10.
Mm-hmm. What about the presence of biblical demons on earth?
I would definitely say that's a 10. Mm-hmm.
The same for angels?
Yes.
What about dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs, per dinosaurs, like you would see in a museum, I would say 1. But I believe dinosaurs actually existed, but not as dinosaurs. I believe they were dragons.
Oh, that leads me into my next question. and listen carefully, though, because I've got the stipulation of fire-breathing and flying dragons having ever existed in the history of the planet on 1 to 10.
I'm going to say yes, because it's biblical. It's in the Bible.
Are you on a full 10 fire-breathing flying dragons?
Yes.
A Game of Thrones style.
Well, I've never seen them, but I would say flying reptile demons. How about that? I don't know if they breathe fire.
All right, and I've got one that
I think we might have added that part. I don't know.
This one might be a little bit of a trick question, and I didn't know it was a trick question until someone mentioned it to me. So first, let me ask, 1 to 10 that a human being has ever stepped foot on the moon.
That is a 1. Mm-hmm.
And then the reason it might be a trick question is my friend Maverick Approach, but he said he gave that one a high score, but only because he said, well, the moon is local, and if the moon is local, then it's actually more realistic that humans have got to it, because it was much less of a distance and they didn't have to leave the firmament in order to get to it. So that there might be a possibility that someone landed on like the local moon, but maybe not the galactic moon. You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting.
I would say that I don't believe that we did like ever at any time, because well, there's a whole case for why that wasn't plausible back in my day. But I would say, especially with NASA coming out and saying, we've never been to the moon again because we destroyed the technology. We don't know where the technology is. And then we have all of these ships, right, that are supposed to go to the moon. My husband's employer had a spaceship, and one of their employees went, and they were literally back in 13 minutes. So that leads me to believe that's a simulator.
That was one of those suborbital.
And then the windows are blacked out, so you can't see outside the windows and and whatever. And I'm like, a 13 minute trip to get,
you just put them in a gravitron
to supposedly get whatever million miles away it is or whatever, and back in 13 minutes. Yeah, I'm not buying it.
What about score 1 to 10 that Stanley Kubrick directed the moon landings that were broadcast on
100% on a stage? Yep, 100%.
Okay, so same scale of 1 to 10 that Stanley Kubrick tried to reveal that he did that through his movies like The Shining and Eyes Wide Shut. Do you think he was trying to send the message that he did that?
Yes.
Do you think that he was helping people, or was that like him gloating, or like a stamp of here, I did this?
I think probably that he got in bed with a certain three-letter agency. And then he wanted to get out of that little festival of love. And so he was trying to educate in a way that he could without getting immediately whacked. I'm just saying.
What do you think about, you mentioned the Joe Biden masks, which I think at this point everyone has at least seen like the Jackass movie and the old man that Johnny Knoxville puts the old man mask on. Mm-hmm. And if that can be done by some stoner skateboarder for like pranks, you bet your ass they've got some like really impressive ones.
They do. They have a lady, she's been interviewed multiple times, but she actually started their program, and it was to, you know, originally done to like substitute someone in for like the president or a head of state or something like that when they were meeting with like foreign dignitaries. That was the reason behind starting it, but it has become so like well advanced and stuff. She even talks about like going to the White House before in disguise and talking to the president in the Oval Office. And she's like, you know, like, I have something to show you. And he's like, what? And she goes to take off her mask and he's like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? Like, what is this? And she's like, takes the mask off. Well, it's me, Mr. President. And so they've done this all the way back to the Nixon era.
So with that being almost like, you know, an established fact, mm-hmm. What do you think about the other side of that spectrum, that there's like Joe Biden clones, like an actual human being that was created in some kind of scientific test tube or incubator?
Do I think that's possible? Yes, because as much as they like to like try to manipulate DNA and stuff like that, and they've been working on cloning since like the late 70s, and they, you know, they clone stem cells for therapy treatments and stuff like that all the time. So do I think that's a possibility? Yes. And you know where I think they keep a lot of the clones at? I think they keep them in Antarctica. Because the only people that ever go there are politicians, rich people, and celebrities.
Do you, talking about Antarctica, do you think that there's like other continents and worlds beyond the Arctic wall?
No, I don't.
You're familiar with these theories, like flat earth theories, the beyond the Arctic wall?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think is on the other side of the Arctic wall?
I would say probably nothing, because if, again, if it's biblical and we're under a firmament, which is the dome, then what is our world is what our world is. So I don't think there's anything else.
Is this in, I'm trying to draw like an analogy that's like very visual to give a good representation. It's like in the Truman Show where he just takes the boat and he keeps floating, and then eventually he hits the inside of like a dome.
Right.
There's like a little door in there. Is that sort of what happens, that we're just prevented from seeing outside the wall? Are we like, would we eventually just hit some kind of a corner?
Well, yeah, because, you know, just like with Antarctica, they're like, they don't allow anybody to go there, you know, and even pilots and stuff are talking about like not having to adjust curvature of the earth or whatever into their flight plans and, you know, stuff like that, if it was a globe model, right? And so to me, it stops at the edge of the firmament. And is there something else? It's possible. It could be another universe that God created. Who knows? It could have been a past world or past life or whatever.
Do you think it's possible that some 12-year-old could order a book off Amazon on demons and accidentally summon a demon at like a sleepover?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could happen with a Ouija board?
Absolutely, because demonic possession is usually with the most vulnerable. So young children, infirmed, elderly, mentally unstable people, stuff like that. And so the more people mess with things, the more you invite that in. And it's kind of like on the same lines of, if you're a really negative person, you're always inviting negative energy to come your way. You're not ever inviting something positive in. So is it easy for those kind of things to enter you? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong on making this statement. So, because I'm going to say it anyways, I think it's wrong. But it seems weird that the Catholic Church is one of the only denominations that like associates itself with exorcisms and actually acknowledges the premise that demons can possess people, and that there needs to be some sort of like an antidote for that, you know, the holy water. And like, you know, everyone's seen The Exorcist at this point. If you haven't, I hope you watch it, especially if you like horror movies. But why do you think it is that the Catholic Church, which is often cited as like kind of the corrupt, just in that it's been the longest establishment, it's like the longest corporation that's ever existed, that still exists today, but they're also one of the only ones that seems to acknowledge demonic possession and suggest any sort of like way to resolve it?
Well, my thought process on that, especially knowing what I know about the Catholic Church, they invited a lot of demonic entities with their ritualistic sacrifices and torture chambers under the church and theft. The Vatican has plundered and stolen a lot of artifacts from a lot of different cultures. And so it's interesting to me that you brought that up.
Only to feed the poor.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, that's why they keep
them fancy windows.
That's why they keep them underneath the Vatican in their vaulted room, because they're helping feed people and stuff, right? And that's why the Vatican also owns a lot of properties in London, like diamond stores, museums, different kinds of brothels. Yeah, if you do a deep dive into Vatican-owned stuff, it's very interesting.
Do you think the royal family has any power in 2024?
Yes, because under FDR, the control of the United States was actually given to the UK, to the royal family.
Do you think they're doing a pretty good job
of controlling the United States?
Yeah.
I think that they think they're doing a really good job. And I think that it is in cooperation with all of the bloodlines, right? That be and who actually make the decisions as far as society as a whole and who's going to have, you know, what positions of power and what entities are allowed to exist and things like that. So I think they think they're doing a good job, but their actual goal is destruction of humanity. So no, they're failing miserable.
What do you think are the forces of good today in the world?
People with faith, people that speak truth, people that are not afraid to be persecuted for their beliefs.
It's a short list.
It's true, though.
Do you think that America is the greatest country in the world?
That is very questionable. We have done a lot of shady, crappy things throughout history. But at the same time, if we are not a great nation and a nation of opportunity, then why do so many people from around the world want to come here to make a living and to live? It's because we have the Constitution, although that is being treated like toilet paper here recently. So
I just want to know if you are open at all, even 1% open, to the premise of Hunter Biden being the prodigal son and returning and running for president and marrying Tiffany Trump and like becoming the ultimate dynasty of reformation, like the ultimate prodigal son story. Are you even open to that concept, or do you think that's just not even possible?
I'm going to say I don't think that's possible. That would be like a very big leap. I know. Biblically speaking, God used damaged or seemingly broken people to carry out his work. However, you have to have faith in God and you have to have remorse for your wrongdoing. And I don't think he has the capability to be that person. That
fair
is
enough.
Why
it's we'll leave it for fan fiction only, I guess, for the time being.
Because I mean, he's still selling his artwork for billions of dollars, and they're still collecting money from Ukraine and China, and you know, whatever. And he's like not remorseful about his whole, you know, situation with his brother's wife and the whole nine yards. So. Yeah.
Okay. So officially, Deplorable Janet is not Team Hunter Biden. Is what
no.
Okay. He might come around, but we're going to have to wait and see. What color pill would you say you are? You know what I mean by that?
That is a really difficult question. I would never want to do a blue pill, right? I think I have taken the red pill, but at the same time, I would say that I am more of a white pill person. And I guess that's because my faith does not allow me to give in to fear and stuff. So no matter what it is that's going on in our world and going on, you know, around us, I live in a happy bubble. And I have joy in my heart, so I don't think there's anything that can shake that faith.
Do you believe in nuclear technology and nuclear weapons?
No, I don't believe that exists to the extent that they say it does. Do I believe that there have been attempts at nuclear power plants and stuff? Yes. But do I think nuclear weapons exist? No, because you have to have such a specific cooling system whenever you're working with nuclear, you know, whether it's uranium, and it takes a certain degree of coolant and stuff like that. So how would they man that on an aircraft and have that cooling technology? I don't believe it exists.
Do you think Putin acts with his people's best interests in mind?
Ooh, that is a difficult question for me to answer, because I'm kind of in the camp that I think everything that they have said about Putin is a falsity. And the reason why I've kind of come around to that, and I know some people are going to be like, oh my God, he's a murderer and he's blah, blah, blah. He also outlawed Microsoft in his country. He won't allow George Soros in his country. Doesn't allow Bill Gates to do stuff in his country. And so he can't be all bad if he sees the seeds of evil and doesn't allow them to influence his country. I think maybe he does the best with what he has.
Do you think Disney movies are literally programming children?
Yes. Without a doubt. And the best thing that I can say for that is that almost every single Disney movie I have ever seen, and I'm sure even ones I have not seen, all have to do with a broken home, broken family, missing parents, kids fending for themselves. So, yeah.
Do you think video games rot the brain?
I think they can, yes, because anytime you're staring at a screen for a long period of time, even if it is just social media, it's bad for your brain waves because you're taking in too much blue light. And depending on the content of what you're looking at, that can affect your mannerisms and your demeanor.
You're the best, because like you've been keeping up with these questions, like bang, bang, bang. We've gotten, I think I've asked you more questions than almost any other interview. So this was awesome. I wasn't expecting anything less, and you delivered in spades. I do want to ask, do you have a specific like Bible quote or verse or proverb or anything that maybe is going to come right out of the Bible that you want to leave anyone with?
You know, one of my favorite things is God does not instill us in with fear. We as a man instill fear ourselves. I can't tell you what the exact passage number or exact quotation that is, but it's all throughout the Bible. Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And we literally live in a society that is fear-based and fear-mongering on every side, from every aspect. And when we as a society or human beings stop letting fear control our thoughts and our daily lives, your world is so much brighter and so much more beautiful when you're not giving in to temptation of fear.
That's awesome. And we need to bring back the No Fear brand that was getting big in like the early 90s.
Right? That was a big deal. Yeah.
No fear.
It went by the wayside of the eggs and the egg commercials.
And the XFL. Yeah. It was a very specific moment in time. Janet, thank you for coming and hanging out with me and dealing with the Florida weather alongside, even though you don't get to share in like the nice after effects of it.
But that's right.
Mm-hmm. Tell people where they can find you, any shows or projects you got going on, anything. Here's your chance to shine.
Well, thank you first and foremost for letting me come on and spend time with you, because it has been an absolute blast. I love the questions. I love doing different stuff. And so people get to see a different side of me than just the straight down the medical rabbit hole.
The Whitman sampler.
Literally all the time. This is like a box of chocolates. And don't pick the one that's chocolate covered cherries, because those are gross. And so Deplorable Nation podcast is on every podcast platform. It's also on Rumble, so you can watch videos there if you so choose. You can find me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet, on Twitter at No Janet. And for those who are so interested or medically inclined to find out more information, not only do I do that on my show, but I also do regular shows every month with Paranoia Radio. And we have a whole host of topics that we discuss and shed light on and tell the truth about what's really behind what's making us sick. So make sure you tune into those because, yeah, you'll have your mind blown a time or two.
And a special shout out, I just want to tell my friend Danny, if you're not already listening to Deplorable Janet, you should. She's awesome and you're awesome. You guys should connect. And thank you to all my Patreons. At the very end of this video, I'll play like a little list of everyone's name that's been helping donate and get these things on the road. And hopefully, you know, like raising enough money to replace a modem when the lightning takes it out, which does happen more often than you would expect in Florida.
You know what it is? It's because you're so darn electrifying.
Ready for a cosmic conspiracy about Stanley Kubrick, moon landings, and the CIA? Go visit NASAComic.com.
NASAComic.com. CIA's biggest con. Stanley Kubrick put us on. That's why we're singing this song. I'm NASAComic.com. Go visit NASAComic. Go visit NASAComic.com. Yeah, go visit NASAComic.com. Oh, NASAComic.com. CIA's biggest con. Stanley Kubrick put us on. That's why we're singing this song. I'm NASAComic.com. Go visit NASAComic.com. Go visit NASAComic.com. Yeah, go visit NASAComic.com.
Never a Straight Answer is a 40-page comic about Stanley Kubrick directing the Apollo space missions.
Yeah, go visit NASAComic.com.
This is the perfect read for comic, Kubrick, or conspiracy fans of all ages. For more details, visit NASAComic.com.
Spread the word with propaganda packs, all for just $40 shipped at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Paranoid propaganda packs. We got facts on these speaker slaps. So grab yourself a stack and go attack with these paranoid propaganda packs.
These huge all-weather slaps will last in public for years to come. Remind citizens that birds are not real, self-immolation is an option, and might make you magnetic. Do your part and get a propaganda pack today from ParanoidAmerican.com.
Yeah, paranoid propaganda packs. We got facts on these sticker slaps. So grab yourself a stack and go attack with these paranoid propaganda packs.
What are you waiting for? Go to ParanoidAmerican.com right now and get a paranoid propaganda pack.
Long American stickers, cryptids, cults, and killers. Killers, we got all your favorite conspiracies. Then more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers, they'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies, all of these and more on our sticker sheets.
Explore the unique with Paranoid American sticker sheets. Unearth tales of cryptids, cults, and mysteries through each sticker. These won't last long. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Well, all American stickers, cryptids, cults, and killers, killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies. All of that and more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies.
Yetis, all of these and more on our sticker sheets.
What the heck are you waiting for? Discover the extraordinary with Paranoid American Sticker Sheets. From cryptids in the night to cults out of sight, each sticker is a unique find. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Scribble my life away, driven to write the page. Will it enlighten your brain? Give you the flight, my plane. Paper the highs ablaze, somewhat of an amazing feel. When it's real, the real, you will engage it. Your favorite, of course, the lord of an arrangement. I gave you the proper results to hit the pavement. If they get emotional, hey, maybe your language, a game. How they playing it well without Lakers. Evade them, whatever the cost, they are the shapeshift. Snakes get decapitated, met is the apex. Execution of flame, you out nuclear bomb, distributed at war, rather gruesome for eyes to see. Max them out, then I light my trees. Blow it off in the face, you're despising me for what though? Calculated and rather cutthroat. Paranoid American must be all the blood smoke for real. Lord, give me a day away, vacate. They wait around to hate whatever they say. Man, it's not in the least bit. We get heavy rotate when a beat hits. So thank us, you're welcome. Fuck the niggas for real, you're welcome. They ain't never had a deal. You welcome, man, they lacking appeal. You welcome, yet they doing it still. You welcome.